I don't often look through my old high school or junior high yearbooks, but I always see something that I wish I could forget. Or I'm reminded of things that I wish I could forget, like that one awful haircut. I will never forget in junior high, I got a mohawk. Our high school football team was really good, and a lot of the high school football players were getting mohawks, and so I idolized them, and I wanted to be like them, and a few of my friends wanted to be like them, and so we decided that we would get a mohawk. Well, we was the first person and the only person to do it. Man, I thought, man, I'm going to be the main character of this show that night. And then when I woke up in the morning, I had to come to grips that I had to go to school. Man, I was so embarrassed. And looking back, you know, I'm like, why didn't my mom stop that from happening? You know, when I get to heaven, I think that's one thing that I'm going to ask her. Why didn't you stop? You saw me do that. You knew that I was going to do that. Parents were just different then. They just let you do stuff and live with the consequences. Or one thing I can't forget, and I don't know if this was a Simpson Academy thing where I graduated from, or if it's a private school thing. I got some. You shouldn't have said Simpson Academy nods right then. The prologue to the Canterbury Tales. I think that's a BA thing as well. Am I correct? Okay, yeah, so it's not just a Simpson Academy. But I cannot forget the prologue to the Canterbury Tales. We memorized that when I was a senior in high school, and it's still stuck in my head. And every now and then, at the most unusual moments, I'll have that one lit opera, the Shora Sutta, will just come out of nowhere. I wish I could forget it. I memorized it well. My friend Bill Broadhead, my best friend, he didn't. And I laugh just thinking about him reciting that in class, because he stumbled and I chuckled the whole way through his recitation. Or some of you parents will, you'll understand this. Teenagers, yours a little different. That one moment you got the courage to call that girl on the phone. Back then you had to call. Fortunately for us, that was not in a text message, and it was never to be remembered. But that one moment you got the courage to call, and her dad answered, and then you spoke in like this deep voice, "Oh, I must have the wrong number." These are all moments that I've lived, by the way. Or that time at break, you tripped in front of the whole class, but you managed to pull off that "I meant to do that" save. Big time. And there are probably a lot of moments in high school that you might want to forget, but one thing I want to challenge you to do this morning is to remember. I want to challenge you to remember what God started and allow Him to finish. And here's the problem with that statement, and this is really for every single one of us in this room today. The problem is we forget. As humans, we forget. We forget all that God has done for us in our lives. We forget how God took care of us at certain times. We forget how God saved us and redeemed us. We forget lessons that God has taught us along the way. We forget prayers that God has answered. We forget the times that God has healed us, because we live in a world that wants to know, "God, what have you done for me lately?" And we tend to forget that God is continually working on our behalf. And so one thing that our church has given you, that you have now, I see some of you taking notes, is a journal. And here's a challenge that I want to make to you over the next few days before you graduate. I want to challenge you to slow down, find a quiet place, grab this journal and a pen, and write out times that you know that God has spoken to you, times that God has been faithful to you, times that God has worked on your behalf, and spend some time reflecting on that. And you might have to think hard about that, but ask God to show you where he showed up in your life. And write it down, because we forget. And I'm going to tell you, there will come a day. Now you're all this excitement with graduating. It's so fun. You have this sense of accomplishment, and it's hard to see, but you will experience times of discouragement in the next year. There are going to be days that your faith is going to be tested. There'll be days that your faith will be challenged, and you may even think, man, God, have you left me? You may even have doubts of God's existence. There will be tough moments, and that is a guarantee. But if you write down what God's done, it'll be a reminder that God is faithful and that he's powerful, and he'll continue to be faithful, and it will be a great reminder that God hasn't forgotten you. And so we're going to look at an Old Testament narrative that demonstrates this very thought, because sometimes we forget just how good God has been. So if you've got your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And while you're turning, I'll give you a little context. You're probably familiar with what leads up to this story of how God delivered the Israelites from the hands of Egypt through his servant Moses. So God's people were in bondage and slavery for hundreds of years to the Egyptians, and God heard their prayers and sent Moses to deliver them. So Moses goes to Pharaoh and demands that he let God's people go. And when he asked, Pharaoh refused. And this happened many times, and so God sent plagues to Egypt, and finally, Pharaoh lets them go after the final plague, when the angel of death passed over. And Pharaoh says, hey, I'll let you go. But after he lets them go, then he decides that that was not a good decision, and so he sends his army to chase them. And to get where God wanted them, they needed to cross the Red Sea. So God parts the waters so his people could cross it. Then after they cross, the waters recede and come crashing in on the Egyptian army, drowning them. And they escaped by this epic miracle. I want you to think about that. How awesome that would be to see God do something that powerful on your behalf. You would think that they would remember that, right? But it doesn't take long and they forget. They begin to complain. They begin to question God. They want to go back to their old way of life. They forget because we as humans forget. Well, years go by and they're about to enter the promised land, but because of their disobedience, they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and so Moses dies because of something that Moses did, his disobedience to God. God didn't allow him to enter the promised land. His assistant Joshua takes over as leader, and the people were finally going to enter the promised land. But before they do, God performed another miracle. You may not know this, but God parted another body of water to show his faithfulness and power to his people. And so we're going to read Joshua 4, 4 through 7, and then we'll jump down and read 20 through 24. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." Then skip down to verse 20, and it says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" All right, so here's the deal. Joshua sets up these stones so that the people of God would always remember how faithful and good God was to them, how faithful and good he had been in their lives. He knew that people tended to forget, and so he set up this memorial of stones so that people wouldn't forget, and in the future, when they would ask about the stones, they would remember how God had been faithful to them. So this morning, I want you to think about the stone, the past events in your life that God has come through, and allow those to be stones of remembrance of how good God has been to you. And this is for every single one of us. I forget how good God is. I think it's really important. The older I get, the more important I see it to write down those answered prayers, write down those things, those times that God came through you, because we're going to need those things to sustain our faith. So the first thing I want to see, there are three things, three truths I want you to see from this passage, from this narrative. Three things to remember, three truths to remember. And the first is, God's got power. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over in my life. God has power. And for the Israelites, God directed them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He provides for them with manna and quail. I sure hope they fried that quail. Have y'all ever had fried quail? Man, that stuff is so good. And God protects the Israelites. And you might think this morning, I haven't seen God's power. Why don't I see God's power today? And there are a couple of things that I thought about why we might not see God's power. And the first is, are you asking God to do things so big that if he doesn't show up, it won't happen? So are you asking God? Are you asking him to do something so big that if he doesn't show up on your behalf, that it will not happen? Lots of times we don't see God's power because we don't ask. At a previous church I served at, I met occasionally with a group of older men. They met every single week, and they had this little team. They were called the push team. It was pray until something happens. And every week they would meet and pray, and they would keep this little journal. And I'll never forget the first year I was there, at the end, the last meeting of the year, they started reading off all the prayers that God had answered that year. And it was hundreds of prayers. And I'm talking stuff that was like healing people. It was just amazing that they had written these things down and they could see God's power. So are you asking God? Am I asking God for something so big that if he doesn't show up, that it's not going to happen? And the next thing is, are you actively trusting God? I find it very interesting in the previous chapter, Joshua 3:3, the Jordan River typically was about 100 feet wide throughout the year, but in the flood time, in the spring, it would flood, and in some places it could be a mile wide or a mile and a half wide. And I don't know if you've seen any news of the recent floodings, but you see these pictures of how just treacherous a flood looks like. And this is probably the stage that the Jordan River was when they crossed it. And so in chapter 3, verse 3, read this. It says, "And God commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." In this chapter, God tells the priests to step in the water before he performs the miracle. And I want you to think about a flooding river. So are you actively trusting God? The reason that we may not be seeing the power of God is that we're not stepping out into the river. And what has God called you to do? Are there some things that God has called you to do that kind of scare you a little bit? If you want to see God's power, then you have to step out into the river and watch him work. I will never forget, a lot of people you may not know, but the first 6 years of my ministry, I was an itinerant worship leader, and I traveled all over the Southeast leading worship for youth and college events and some church events. And I will never forget, I was so scared to step into that phase of ministry. I remember a friend of mine, Gary Permenter, and I were meeting together one day, and he asked me, you know that God wants you to do this. Why aren't you doing it? And I said, well, Gary, I'll be honest with you. I looked over this past year how much money I made leading worship, and there is no way on earth that I could support a family leading worship. And he said, why don't you just step out and trust God? He'll meet every need that you have. And do you know that God met every single need that I ever had? And he will meet every need that you have if you'll step out and trust him. Because God's got power. Unlimited power. Next thing I want you to see is God keeps his promises. And God is a God who keeps promises. I want you to know that we fail on our words sometimes. We don't follow through on our words sometimes. We're human. But God never fails on his word. God never fails to keep his promises. God promised the Israelites that he would give them a land flowing with milk and honey, a great land. And they wondered and wondered and wondered. But in 10 chapters later in this story, and after a lot of trusting God, going through a lot of other difficulties, and 10 chapters later, God follows through on his promise to give them a land. And it was a proof that when God says he's going to show up, when God promises something, he follows through on it. And the next thing, the last thing I want you to see this morning is God's got your back. In Joshua 4:8-10, Joshua takes 12 stones And he puts them in the middle of the Jordan River. I think that's really interesting because when the waters receded, when the waters came back, then nobody would ever see that memorial of stones. Only God would see that. It was buried to not be remembered. And I love Warren Wiersbe says that Joshua was making a statement that we're not going back. Our old way of life is buried. We'll no longer be able to go back to that way of life. We'll no longer wander from God. And so as you enter this new phase of your life, I want you to know that God's got your back. You can't go back to the past. You can go forward, and there are going to be some struggles in the future. You may struggle with your identity. And one of the biggest lies that you will be told is that God doesn't love you, and sometimes we tell this to ourselves, we think, I'm not really that good. That's the biggest lie. God loves you. He made you. He created you for a purpose, for His glory. And so you may struggle with your purpose. But remember, if you have surrendered to Jesus, you're a child of God. Make His glory your purpose in everything you do. Live for His glory, not your own. In the next few years, you're going to run into people who are going to try to dismantle your faith. I see this every single year. You will find those who mock your belief system, who try to dismantle your faith. And so there are going to be some big challenges, but remember, God's got your back. Never forget what God started and allow Him to finish it. So Joshua did make another memorial out of stones, one that he set up at Gilgal so that the people could remember. So I gave you a little stone. You might have wondered what that was, but this little rock, just something to remind you of. It says, the Lord is my rock. We gave that to you just so that maybe you could remember as you're thinking, man, what are those moments in my life where God showed up or God tried to show me His faithfulness? So for some of you, when you're writing these things down, maybe it was that time at camp that God spoke to you. And summer camp is such an incredible time to get away, to have fun with each other, and to hear the Word of God. And God uses that, and God will speak powerfully, but we forget, and so we need to write it down. Or maybe that time, there was a time when God provided a friend for you when you needed it the most, and you prayed, and God came through. Or that time God healed you. Or that time God rescued you from a relationship. Or that time that God spared you even though you were being really dumb. We've all had those moments. Or that time that you came to know Jesus as Lord. And some of you, if you're honest, you may say, you know what, I haven't thought that much about God. I haven't spent that much time thinking about God. I haven't remembered Him. Can I tell you something awesome? God's thought about you. And God remembered you. God remembered me. When we don't remember Him, He still remembers us. The Bible tells us, Romans 3:12 says that everyone has turned away from God. Every single person has turned away from God. No one does good. And Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's this standard of perfection, God's holiness, that we cannot live up to, that we don't have. It's called sin. And the Bible says that all of us have this. Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is death. And this isn't just referring to spiritual, physical death, but spiritual death and eternal separation from God. And this is real trouble. This means we're in big trouble. But the good news is this. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Romans 10:9 tells us that if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. Man, that is good news. So this morning, as we're here celebrating, as you're starting this new phase of your life, what are those stones of remembrance that you have? How God came through for you. Maybe today would be a stone of remembrance when you gave your heart to Jesus for the very first time. Some of you in here need to do that. God is faithful. God is powerful. He's got your back. And this morning, we have an opportunity to respond to him. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We'll pray. Brother Greg will be here this morning. You can respond to the Lord by coming to him. I will be here if you'd like to talk to me. Let's pray together. Lord God, help us to remember. Help us to remember how good you are, Lord. God, help us to trust you, to step out in faith, knowing that you're powerful, knowing that you provide, knowing that you direct, knowing that you've got our back. As we live for your glory, God, and not our own, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.